Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
A cup of coffee, or actually 2 cups of coffee, I had in Canberra today at a place called The Cupping Room in Australia. It's, I think, on National Circuit in the centre of Canberra. So the North Canberra is the Parliament House and all the official state buildings, a bit like Washington DC. South Canberra, across the river, Burleigh Griffin, is the commercial civic centre and the Australian National University. So just between the Australian National University and the civic centre is this coffee shop called The Cupping Room. And you might say, oh, look, why would this be worth a podcast, science podcast? Well, it's rather deep. I'm just in the middle of working my way through, if you can believe it, English literature critique, to work out the models and methods to look at science textbooks, how that all fits in, and sort of the rationale behind science. And it might be interesting, as an aside, science began in 1836, I think it was, around that time, and it was a discussion between a poet and a priest, the priest happened to be looking after Faraday, and they came up with the word scientist. And a lot of the modern ideas of the ethics of science and the openness of science and the fact as a science of profession also came from this poet, and the political critique and the moving the establishment of studying English. Codates from the idea of public studying of science. So it's very interesting to go through here, and it's whether you should have science as something that you study, something that you apply, beneficial to society, or some aspect of your life which you enjoy. It changes your interaction with nature, so to speak. Understanding, and this is where coffee came into it, because coffee shop is pursuing the idea of mixing knowledge and enjoyment together to be a process of enhancement, which is one aspect of one of the many aspects I've got up on the whiteboard of how do you analyze it. So English literature analysis is very well established. I'm reading through the critique of English literature and seeing how that applies to science, and how science is sort of lagging behind in this aspect. And one aspect of English literature is that literature is something well written, is something should be enjoyed, and then you think about it, and then it's a reflection on the rest of the world. Which is perhaps this aspect, when I came to this particular coffee shop called The Cupping Room, I could see sort of elements of this theory, which I was sort of looking at, working with, reading through, as applied to something which is slightly technical, but it's the taste and the thought of it coming through. So I'll just describe it a little bit. The menu came out, and it said, oh, we are a specialist coffee shop, blah, 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 and it will blow your mind. We aim for the intellectual aspect of drinking coffee. And I thought, oh, this is very interesting. They only had 3 types of coffee, a flat white coffee, and they're all flat white. It's no cappuccinos, and it's a flat white aspect on the top of it. But you could select traditional coffee or... I think there's a candied raspberry coffee. It's the flavour, of course. And I said, oh, this is... The waitress overheard me saying, disgusting. I said, well, this is intensely interesting because, the flavour comes from the fermentation process, very much in wine. I've been sort of a bit fascinated, this is an aside, with wine, because essentially the notes people are tasting is basically fungus poo. Yeah, we've developed a taste for fungus poo. There's different areas which have different cultures, and this goes for cheese. Cheese ferments, wine ferments, coffee ferments, chocolate ferments, beer ferments. So fermentation is a process. Generally, it's a fungus which eats the converts the sugar. Yeah, it breathes the sugar. You've got and bacteria. And in terms of wine, it produces the alcohol as the byproduct. And I suppose there could be some alcohols in coffee, a very complex thing. So they overheard me saying that. And there were other things, so I shall describe it further up. They had a sort of a nice, I don't know what it's called, a nice tea. It's not a nice coffee, it's a coffee with ice in it. And I'll describe that a bit later. But the general discussion, one of the actual technicians, believe it or not, a cafe, and they've won, I think, the world barista, the world's best coffee. So this is in the whole world. And this is official, and you'll start to, these international competitions. Essentially, Australia, being a long distance from Italy, began to work out, well, the coffee is second rate by the time it reaches Australia, because it's roasted in Italy. We'll start roasting it in Australia. And so we began, because of our isolation, we began taking over the process of developing coffee. And Australia's surprisingly developed a little bit of a coffee obsession. So there are these people who like coffee, and it's one of these things which I discussed. It's not because there's coffee in some of the source from South America, Africa, but also Papua New Guinea, some of the islands north of us, and the entire process is being taken on because it's relatively fresh. It's less, more of a scientific endeavour, and this particular cupping room as taken over. So if you read any aspect of it, everything is slightly edgy. So they say cupping room, it's cupping is associated, which I still believe, I've sort of looked up, is essentially you have a cup, you heat up the cup, you place it over your flesh with some oil on it, and it will Boyle's law, whatever it is, NP equals NRT. Essentially, the temperature will drop, the pressure will drop, and we'll start to apply low pressure to a region. I can't quite understand what it is. But even though they said the cupping, it's not an erotic thing or a massage parlour. It's, you know, we've actually steered ourselves into that particular word to start up discussions. I came out, and the technician came out, and he said, we roast it. Here you have this cup of pure coffee, because you really shouldn't drink any milk with coffee, and taste it. And again, taste the fruit aspects to it. And he sort of described a sequence of things going on in terms of that they now have their technicians, this one cafe, which has sort of outreaches in other countries and stuff like that, have their technicians in other countries, in the Africa and stuff like that, and the fermentation process they've got in control of, introduced quality control for it. He mentioned a series of processes, carboxy, something or other, and I said, exactly what's happening. And so what they do is that when they're fermenting it, they remove the oxygen and introduce carbon dioxide to get anaerobic bacteria, which then takes the flora in a different direction, giving these nutty and fruity. So this entire wine process, he said, I actually don't drink wine. I get more out of trying to analyze the label, and where the label is trying to, the concept of the wine grower, how they're going to, you've got a short paragraph to, like an abstract of the wine to actually do it, and every word is valuable on the label, so it's interesting to read the labels and stuff like that. And essentially, the understanding of the microbiology of wines. Very interesting how Australia does it, and there's biosecurity, and so going to vineyards, you often have to go through a fence, but you can't walk into a vineyard. You have to walk through a washing station first. All this sort of crazy stuff, which isn't happening in more open countries, but Australia being isolated, can produce wines and stuff like that. So the idea here is, so let's go coffee. The coffee seed grows, and the idea of a coffee, any seed, is that there is two aspects. You want a supply of food for the plant to grow, so the seed gets dispersed. You also want, in dispersal, if you want the seed to be eaten by a bird, you want to have that eaten. Yeah, it's got to provide a food source, a reward, something like pollen is reward for the bees distributing the nectar is reward for the bees. This is a sugary water the bees like. The actual seed has a shell on it, and I'm sure I listened to this chap, his name is Connor, and there's some sort of complexity there, which is very interesting to sort of understand, like the roasting process and the fermentation process is also part of the mechanical process of lifting that flesh of the coffee seed, the coffee bean, so to speak, coming off. And you want to ferment it for a particular amount of time to actually steer conversion of various chemicals. So in a lot of cases, I think caffeine is a would possibly be a toxin. It's got, if I remember the chemical formula of it, it's a double aromatic compound with various groups sticking off it. I've really forgotten off the top of my head. I had learned it and done something on it. But essentially, it would be a toxin. It's a neurostimulant. It's a neurotoxin stimulant, and it's basically a toxin or a stimulant. I'm sure it doesn't go very well with other animals and stuff like that. So I think So it's hard to work out what the biological niche that coffee came up, but. I can remember coffee was discovered in South America, I think, and then taken out to Europe. And a key thing for the coffee houses, so the key growth of Europe and parliaments, they didn't have these big institutions. They had people meeting at coffee houses, and you would do business. You'd meet your minister at the coffee house. So the coffee house and a lot of science was done at coffee houses. They wouldn't have the internet. They would have coffee houses, and they would discuss it there. And that's very much in the design of technology parks in Australia. They have a central coffee shop. That's the key in the Australian technology park. These meeting places where people just meet and socialise. So it's the interaction between science and coffee. So I think a lot of the scientific questions did a tour by coffee houses. So they had Hooke's law of gravity, Newton's law of gravity, and then they were discussing comments, and they said, oh, Newton should be able to describe it, and they went up to Newton, and quite famously going through it, Newton didn't have all these things filed under O for orbit and stuff like that. He said, oh, I calculated it one time. I'm sure he was actually just putting people off, and then he knew he could calculate it, and then showed the calculations after a while. This is for orbits of comets and things like that. But if you go, the coffee shop is a key aspect in the social development back then. People meeting it, and I think there's sort of the online community, the way that people meet, and the. There's still very much the etiquette of this going through. But then adding to this, for me, I find is the interesting aspect of the idea of education and the sensory education and the education in a site, in this site. It's sort of like there's sort of a moral, there's all these things that you can graft off literature, of English literature into modern science and actually start to question it. So indeed, these, if you can't really compare the great literary works to textbook, but there are parallels in terms of what they aspire to do or how they're formulated. Are they structuralists? And so they built. So you've got the coffee seed, and around it's the flesh. I mean, I don't quite know what, you know, when you got a coffee bean, I don't quite know what the actual structure of it, but it's the dicotyledon. You can actually see the cleavage plane in the centre of even of coffee bean, and there's a fermenting stage, and then the fermenting is stopped by reducing the moisture content. It's really interesting, because they don't freeze dry it, they reduce the moisture content to 10%. This is what Connor told me, and I sort of have remembering that they do that also in coffee. This is to take the fermentation process and stop it at a particular time. So you can imagine it's like a journey, and after it's made its peak flavour, it'll go off and produce other flavours or even toxins as you go in there. And then it's taken to Australia, and then I think they do that with beer as well. They reduce the moisture content. What I was interested, I suppose I was interested in that they introduce carbon dioxide, which you could perhaps do several things, introduce nitrogen or argon. Or a heavy gas, or helium would diffuse in really quickly. So it's what does carbon dioxide do for these microbes? It means that if you have an oxygen-liking microbe, it will tend to produce carbon dioxide. It's how it pushes these various things. And then they have to heat up the roast the coffee, so you can imagine this is a chemical reaction. And the primary thing that happens in all chemical reactions is the esterification or etherification, esterification, and this is I think it's Millard's reaction. It's like browning onions. It's roasting process, and it's basically a sugar and amino acid come together, so you get a nitrogen and an oxygen, the oxygen with the, so sugar is basically a cyclical self ether, so it's got an oxygen, generally they're circular, sugars are rings, and they've got an oxygen in their loop, and an oxygen in the chain, carbon chain, without, or if it's got an oxygen hanging off it, it's an ether. These obviously, coffee is highly water soluble. It's not an oily thing. So a lot of interesting when you're cooking food. If you cook a bit of oil, the actual nutrients go into the oil, which is pretty amazing thing. So what does the actual chemical reaction do, and how it's promoted? It will be very interesting to see. But it looks as though they're on top of it, and so. This Connor person came out and gave me this glass, and I drank it, and I was sort of stopped by the people around me by saying, don't ask too many things, he got to go and do work. No, he was out there with obviously they're trying to cultivate, not necessarily coffee drinkers, but customers then. And I drank this other coffee, and there's this entire thing of, for wine, why are you interested in something with a fruity taste? Why not just drink fruit juice? It's obviously a social thing. Or if it's got, the wine has a licorice taste, I hate to say, you could probably produce licorice fruit. And I think they said, my weakness is sarsaparilla. I love sarsaparilla, which I think is fermented as well, sarsaparilla root. Process, and that's right off. You can't be interested. I think it's actually called root beer, sarsaparilla root, And there's another S word. There's an Australian plant that was growing in Tasmania, and people would brew it up, and it would be quite a hallucinogenic, in actual fact. It's a sassafras tree, or something like that. So it's really interesting to see these compounds come out. But he actually described that the Australians go over to Ethiopia and other countries, and they select the. And so he gave me the card, which went with this coffee I drank. I had a read through it. It was interesting that it had a really unusual meter. It said the coffee has to be grown between these two altitudes, which, I suppose interesting, but it says its unit wasn't properly spaced. It was butted right up, and it was meters above MASL, MASL. And just if you say the altitude so many meters, you don't have to do MASL, but they sort of a bit. I don't know where that came from. As a purist, I'd like to. If I'm drinking coffee and looking at the parameters of the coffee, so it said exactly what batch, where it was, what type of plant, etc., and where it came from. And I asked, is there a website I can look at this? I'm doing a science podcast, which I have dutifully doing now. And as you can hear, it's not such a great science podcast. It's just me rabbiting on about it. So there was the card here, which I still have somewhere. I suppose what would be good if there was a QR code on the back of the card, which would actually take you back, and you could actually then enter in a comment about that particular coffee and build a community, and you could link people up. That would be a thing if they really, really want to do it. I don't know whether that fits in with their concept. Concept of the cupping room, essentially they when in fermenting they introduce carbon dioxide, and it's just very interesting. Obviously that would increase the acidity of the coffee and encourage a certain type of fermentation. And I'm just trying to think, you can have your mother culture which come in to produce it. Yeah, I suppose what I'd be really interested in, if you could gamma ray irradiate your coffee, not all the time, but to sterilize it properly, and then see what happens, and try and pick up the culture. It is interesting that a lot of the British blue cheese was, I'll go and find a blue piece of moldy bread, or they pick it off the floor, they have to drop the cheese on the floor. There's famously a Dutch cheese which used to, I don't think it would be now, is they press the curd out with the feet, so the person's foot mould is getting into the coffee. So it's an interesting process there. I'll finish off in terms of describing the coffee drink. There's a this is the iced coffee. I've forgotten what it's actually called, but the cup comes out. It's got ice in it, and there's a little bottle with the coffee juice in it, and a syringe with the syrup. And what happens is that you are encouraged to, well, you have to pour in the coffee yourself. I don't know why they do it like this, but it's a part of the process. And the syringe, you can put so many milliliters of the stuff in to see that it's not too sweet, and it's got, I don't know what the actual sugar syrup is to go in. My only comment is that I think these syringes are single-use syringes, and Australia's moving away from plastic. Well, you can't get plastic bags in supermarkets, and plastic straws are being disappeared, withdrawn. But you've got the syringe here, which is single-use, and it's a medical syringe. Obviously, it would be the cheapest way forward, but perhaps not. Not exactly what you want to produce here, but it's all part of the scientific process. So in this, you've got the card, the scientific. What we're trying to do in science education is link it all together, but it's linked not on the greater good. It's linked on a part of life experience mixed together as a way it goes. Similarly, like a essay, a piece of English literature may have really complex ideas and messages to come through, but it's a story which you enjoy. It's got this history for it. So it's a vehicle for getting knowledge. And it's not that the knowledge is there. The knowledge is part of the consumption process, part of life. So, absolutely amazing. The most amazing coffee shop I've been to, especially the syringes to make your ice coffee. It's not ice coffee. It's what the Americans would call an ice coffee, a coffee drink. And trying to get the bitterness and the flavour there. And indeed, the coffee I had was a candied raspberry one. And indeed, it did actually taste very, very different from your standard sort of bitter coffee. I don't know, for me, intellectually, why I'd want to drink a lot of it, but it was a very interesting experience. And of course, this normally when you go to a coffee shop or go to your Starbucks, you wouldn't have someone come out there and actually start to discuss the actual process of coffee. So this is your probably extreme end. So if you come to Australia, and in Canberra, drop in at the cupping room, or if you're overseas, check up ONA. I don't know what ONA stands for, but it has this philosophy, and it's a very interesting philosophy. It's just emerged, but it's emerging in that ecosystem of different philosophies. So you've got a very traditional philosophy of teaching science to replicate the way people were taught it forever, and there's teaching science for the benefit of society. If you look at all those theories of teaching science, they actually correspond to English literature at various points exactly across. And so this is not, wouldn't be identified as science education, but if you go by English literature, looking at how English literature is analysed, it fits. It's an example of correspondence of a physical process that you engage in, which isn't literature, but it's drinking coffee. Thanks a lot for listening. I hope you enjoy a coffee next time you have a look at it. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.